And then last week we looked at this, the Easter continuum. But before that, we were in the middle of the series called Making an Impact for God. And I thought that we had finished that series up when we got into the season of Lent. But God told me something different. He said, no, I still have more for you to talk about, this whole idea of making an impact for God. So we're going to continue in this series for, oh, I don't know, a few more weeks anyway. And as you may or may not remember, if you are tuning in with us, that we were talking about an awful lot about Daniel and his ability to really make an impact for God in a pagan culture, how he really earned the respect of those around him because of his actions and his words. So we're going to turn the tide just a little, turn the page just a little bit this morning, and today I want to look at Joshua. And here is the truth that I want to for you to remember this morning. As we read through this, I want you to remember this, and that's the title of my message this morning. What God did for Joshua, he can do for us. What God did for Joshua, he can do for you. Our text that we'll get into a little bit later is Joshua 1, in verses 1 through 9. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, but God is the one who made him fit for the battle. This mighty commander, the one appointed by Moses after the Exodus, earned his stripes. But more importantly, having been born in bondage, he became God's foreshadowing of the Messiah. And therefore his name was changed to mean Jehovah, the salvation. Joshua's time to step forward came when the children of Israel received the announcement that they dreaded to hear, that they hated to hear, and that is, of course, that Moses was no longer with them, that he had passed away. Unimaginable must have been the disappointment that swept through the land. Here they are, just on the outskirts of the Promised Land, just on the opposite side of the Jordan. After 40 years of wandering, they were right there, that close, and all of a sudden, their leader is no longer with them. After 40 years, encamped out on the Jordan, all they had to do was cross over the river, and then they receive this devastating news, this bad news, that their leader is gone, that he's not going to be there to continue to lead them. But never fear, because God's chosen successor, in this case Joshua, will appear. Always is the case when God is in charge or when God is in control. He will always be prepared to lead his people. Yes, that's you and me. That's the church. He will always be prepared to lead us and his people onward. And in this case, he was prepared to lead his people into the promised land, even in the absence of Moses. God's people had been set free from bondage, and they endured the disciplinary measures necessary for getting them ready to conquer all that would come before them. However, nonetheless, it's still not a great time to lose your leader. But from victory unto victory, Joshua would lead them to establish a nation that would love, a nation that would honor, a nation that would respect, and a nation that would obey the Lord their God. Now, the drama that God's people went through in their long history of ups and downs probably resembles a lot of your life history. We all have our series of hills and valleys, ups and downs when things are great and when things aren't great. And that certainly was the life of the Israelites during those 40 years, a series of ups and downs and highs and lows. But one thing that we have learned is this reassuring truth, and it's this. God works in and through his people today like he did then, rescuing the perishing, redeeming the lost, sanctifying the saved, and setting the sights of his children on things above and not things below. He does so for bringing to pass that special relationship which he purposed in his creation of humility. The constant in God's story has always been God. The constant in that story was never about Moses. The constant in that story up until that time was always about God. In the beginning, God. In the present, God. In the future, God. He will still be at work when everything else has passed away. When everything else has gone on, he will still be. He will be at work when for each and every generation. Generations will come and generations will go, but God is always there and God will always be there, just as he was before Moses and during Moses and after Moses. You see, we all have a birth date and we all have a death date. And in one of his dramas on the on the nature of life, Shakespeare wrote or spoke of life on the earth as the stage upon which we strut for a while and then we depart. And isn't that so true? That's what life is all about. We strut around on this earth for a while and then we depart. Moses had done all that the Lord intended him to do. So the time had come for him to depart and basically pass the torch, if you will. And that's where we pick up our reading this morning. And our reading this morning does come out of the book of Joshua. I'm going to be reading chapter 1 in the first 9 verses. And you will see the text on the screen there. And this is what it says, starting in verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant is dead. Now then you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place that you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will expand from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. Verse 5, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. Verse 6, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the left or to the right, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything that is written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. And then finally, verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and be courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Boy, how fitting and how promising those words are for us today in a time of uncertainty. You know, as we just read, areas of ministry, or as people have a birth date and a death date, areas of ministry also have a birth date and a death date. See, Moses' time was up physically, but his ministry obviously was up at the same time. See, his ministry ended in a physical death, but it doesn't always end that way. See, when I moved Lori and Julia to Gregory to be the pastor here at Gregory Community Church, we left our ministry at Beacon of Hope Church, and we left our street ministry, Backstreet Ministries. We had completed all that God had intended us to complete in both of those capacities. Now, at times we might think that it ended too soon. Others might think that it ended too soon. But for whatever reason, and it's not ours to question, that God had ended our ministries. We had completed all that he had intended us to complete in that time. And you know what? Just like in this time of Moses, when God was preparing us to leave Saginaw, God was already raising up new leaders to carry on the ministry, even before our time had ended. God was raising up Joshua before Moses' time had even ended. Now, the next sentence or two are for those elderly folks who may feel like their time of ministry has come to an end. Who else but the oldest man in Israel to become God's new leader? Yes, the oldest in Israel to become the new leader. Joshua even outdid Moses as to his age when he took over. Moses was 80 years old at the time he was given the great responsibility of his life. And now at this time, the transition was when Joshua was given this responsibility, Joshua was 90 years old. If you were to do a life review of Joshua and compare it to your own, you would discover that over Joshua's lifespan of 90 plus years, you would discover this truth. What God did for Joshua, he does for you and me. Think of what God granted Joshua as peas in a pot of faithfulness, if you will. To God, there were seven of them. God granted Joshua, and he grants us these seven things. And these seven things I took directly out of the text that we just read. These seven things came out of these nine verses. The first thing is patience. God gave Joshua patience, and he gives us patience. After years of second in command, playing the second fiddle, faithfulness on his part, Joshua was assured of God's faithfulness to him in all his ways. You see, it's not easy being second in command. It's not easy being the second fiddle. It's not easy being the vice president, if you will. It's not easy being an associate pastor, if you will. But patience has its reward. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and heard my prayer, it says in Psalm 40, verse 1. They said, wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, in Isaiah 40, 31. Joshua didn't try to outshine Moses. Joshua didn't grow bitter towards Moses because he was only second in command and Moses was first. God was raising up Joshua to be the new leader, and he gave Joshua the patience for that position. And God will give us patience too, as he is raising us up to the time that we are to be ready for our calling. He too gives us patience, just as he did for Joshua. But the second thing he does, or gave Joshua, was privilege. And he gives us privilege as well. What greater privilege could there have been for Joshua than to serve God by walking in the footsteps of Moses, of the deliverer of God's people, and to be the one who would guide a nation through valleys of the shadow of death? And God granted Joshua the privilege to walk in those footsteps. He gave Joshua the opportunity to serve in the wake of Moses' leadership. And that's what he does for us as well. In his last days, Jesus told his disciples that the Spirit of God will come upon you, and you will be able to do things I have done, and even greater things. You see, what a privilege God has given us. God gave Joshua the privilege to walk in Moses' footsteps. He gives us the privilege to walk in the footsteps of his son, Jesus. Jesus said to his disciples that I just read, you will be able to accomplish these things and even greater things when the Spirit of God comes up on you. We have been given a tremendous privilege to walk in Jesus' shoes. Now, these are very big shoes to fill. And we think we can't possibly do what Jesus did, and rightfully so, because, as I said, those were gigantic shoes to fill. However, Jesus showed us and taught us how to live. Jesus showed us and taught us how to love. And Jesus taught us and showed us how to serve. And we have the privilege to be able to follow in his lead. So you see, God gave Joshua patience, and he gives us patience. He gave Joshua the privilege to walk in the footsteps of Moses, and he gives us the privilege to walk in the footsteps of the Son, Jesus Christ. The third thing that he gave Joshua, that he gives us, is promise. God had made a promise to Joshua, Joshua's forebears, that the descendants of theirs would inherit the land of Canaan. And when the time came, God tells Joshua to arise and cross over the Jordan to the land of promise. God said to Joshua, now is your time to receive the land that I have promised to you. You know, I'm sure of many years of wandering, the promised land probably felt like a hoax at times and felt like a promise that would never be fulfilled. I mean, if you were chasing something for 40 years that was promised to you, you would begin to think, man, this feels like a hoax. Like Israel, we too are on a journey that will lead us to the fullness of God's promised inheritance. But what's more is that God has promised that he will see us through to the end, through till we reach home, through till we reach the promised land. What God promises in his word are our promises, just as they were for Joshua. You see, some days life is hard. Some days life is filled with disappointments. Some days we just feel beat up. Some days we just feel like we don't have what it takes to take another step. And in those times, our journey, these promises probably feel like a hoax. There are times when life is so hard that we look at the promises and say, Lord, are you sure this isn't a hoax? And I'm sure the Israelites had those feelings too. But believe it and trust it. God's promises are real. What God will fulfill those promises in our life just as he did for the Israelites. And then the fourth thing that God promised to Joshua, that God gave to Joshua, that he gives to us as well. And perhaps this one is the most comforting, and that is his presence. God promised Joshua and the people of Israel his presence. Israel knew that God was with Moses because his face literally shone with glory that came from being in the presence of God. So they had no doubt about that in that time. Joshua had a heavy responsibility laid on his shoulders, though. But he would carry on and keep Moses' legacy alive. Far more importantly, though, he would keep the people focused on God and focused on that God was at work in their journey of faith. We too know that the way is difficult. We've lived it. We've breathed it. We know it. We know it's not easy. We know that it's difficult. Yet we keep going because God tells us exactly what he told Joshua. He said this, or he says this to us, I will be with you wherever you go. Think about the word wherever. What an adverb that is. What does it mean? What does wherever mean? It means onto, toward, in every direction, moment by moment, over here, over there, in the way which you go, the place at which you arrive, wherever you go, however you go, whatever direction you take to get there, whatever you do, I will be with you. In other words, God says you can't find a place or you can't go to a place that I will not be there. And isn't there some power? Isn't that a powerful message? That you can't run from God. If you go up on the highest mountain or in the lowest valley or to the left or to the right, God is there. A little boy whose mom had passed away got in bed with his dad the first night that she was gone. And when they turned the lights off, naturally it was dark and the son couldn't see his father or his dad. But in the dark he said, "Dad, is your face toward me?" "Yes, son, my face is toward you." "Well, then if your face is towards me, I think I can go to sleep then." Folks, we have the reassurance or the assurance that God or the face of God, as it were, is always turned towards us. Our Father sees us. Our Father knows us by name. Where we are, He knows our thoughts. He knows our prayers. He hears our prayers. He has granted His children, that is you and me, He has granted us His presence. And then the fifth thing that I discover in the text that we read in the first chapter of Joshua is this: our precepts. Our precepts. What is a precept anyway? A precept is a commandment, an instruction, an order, intended to be an authoritative rule of action. And we read in the text that God told Moses or Joshua to remember the law that was given to Moses, to meditate on it. See, when we consider all that God had promised and already has done for us, why shouldn't we be expected to meditate upon His word? Look, God has been good to us. God has been good to you. Even if sometimes you forget it, and even if sometimes life is hard, you know that God has been good to you. You know that God has fulfilled promises in your life. You know that God has blessed you in many ways like He has mine. And if we know that, then why wouldn't we be expected to meditate on His word? Meditating upon His word is important because His word should be hid in our hearts. And it translates into positives that are profitable to others, acceptable to God, and fulfilling to oneself. See, God had given Joshua some precepts, and He gives us those precepts, same precepts. He gives us His word, and He gives us the Ten Commandments as He gave to Moses, and He has an expectation, folks, that we will follow them, that we will use them for our guidebook, that we will use them for our instruction, that we will meditate and hide them in our hearts. Not necessarily for our own gain, but if we hide them in our hearts, then we will be more useful to Him. We will be more useful in our service to Him. We will be more useful in loving others and serving others and encouraging others. Moses and Joshua both meditated on the Word of God, on His precepts, and there is an expectation that we will do the same. The sixth thing that I see in our text this morning is this, that God gave Joshua power, and God gives us power as well. Greater is He, that is the Holy Spirit, that is in you, than he that is in the world. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. See, the source of the power within you is where your courage comes from. The power that is at work within me, or the source of the power that is at work within me, is where my courage comes from. Courage to trust the Holy Spirit to guide you in all of your ways. I'll say that again. Trust the Holy Spirit to guide you in all of your ways. Because I can tell you this, everything else that you trust to guide you will fail you. Will at some point lead you down a broken path. Will sometimes, somewhere along the way, will lead you to a path of destruction. The path, if you choose to trust the Holy Spirit, will not always be easy, but it certainly is one that you can trust. The Spirit empowered Joshua to finish the task set before him. Likewise, the Spirit of God empowers us to finish life's journey on a positive note. So pray. Pray every day. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Make me and mold me and fill me and use me. Man, if you pray that prayer every single day, there is no limits to what God can do through you. There is no limits to what God can accomplish through you. Look, I learned a lesson in ministry many, many, many years ago. And I can tell you it has served me well over the years. And it is this truth. Without the power of God working through me by the way of His Spirit, I'm pretty much useless in my ministry. I am pretty much useless in my ministry if God is not working in me and through me. See, because there is no amount of books you can read, no amount of conferences that you can attend, no amount of classes that you can pass that measures up to the effectiveness of the power of God working in you. Now listen, I'm not dismissing those things. I'm not dismissing classes or conferences or books. They are all good things. And they are all things that can help make us more effective in our ministry. All I'm saying is this. You can do all of those things well and still fall flat if you don't lean into, or if you don't lean on the power of God. If you don't lean on God's power. Moses knew that. Joshua knows that. I know it from personal experience. Trying to do things in the past under my own power and falling flat. And then finding that I don't have what it takes to accomplish something, but the power of God working in me and through me has allowed me to accomplish much. And I hope that you will learn that lesson and understand that lesson as well. And finally, in this text, I see that God gave Joshua peace. And He too gives us peace. He too gives us peace. Boy, isn't that something that we desperately need in these very difficult days that we are in? Peace in knowing that things will be okay. Peace in knowing that it will be okay to gather with other people again someday. Peace to know that it'll be okay to gather work corporately and worship again one day, hopefully in the next few weeks. You see, the land that was flowing with milk and honey did not turn out to be as perfect as the people thought that it was going to be. See, when they entered the land of milk and honey, when they entered the promised land, there were still battles to be fought. There was still suffering to be endured. There were still ups and downs to be experienced, much like our own life. There are still battles to be fought. There are still sufferings for us to endure. There are still ups and downs for us to experience. But as God did for Joshua, He will do for you, and He will give us peace. Had it not been for their awareness of God's presence, had it not been for their attention to God's precepts, had it not been for their assimilation of God's power, they would have been rendered hopeless. But because of those things, they weren't hopeless. They weren't without hope, and they weren't without peace. In and through it all, however, faith in God, dependence upon His Word, and the courage to go on instills hope. A sure hope that brings peace of mind and heart and soul to all those whose hope is in the Lord, as was Joshua's. What God did for Joshua, He does for us. He gives patience. He gives privilege. He gives promise. He gives presence. He gives precepts. He gives His power. And He gives us peace. And I will just close with this. My prayer for you, and for myself included, is that we experience all seven of these blessed assurances just as Joshua did. God gave these seven blessed assurances to Joshua, and He gives them to us. And my prayer is that you experience them in your lives and in your ministry. Listen, God places the same charge on our lives that He did to the disciples upon His departure. See, upon His departure, the Lord charged His disciples with something, and He makes the same charge to us. God has prepared us. You need to hear this as I close. God has prepared us. That means He has prepared you. God has trained us. That means He has trained you. God has disciplined us. That means He has disciplined you. God has brought people into our lives. He has brought people into your lives to mentor you and to coach you and to prepare you to fulfill what He has called you to accomplish. And it is the very last thing that He said to His disciples before His departure. Now let's remember that this word is intended for us too. So this charge is intended for us as well. We read in the very last verse of Matthew. He says this, "Go and make disciples everywhere." There's that word again, everywhere. That means everywhere you go. Go and make disciples, and I will what? I will be with you. Go and make disciples, and I will be with you. How and where and in what way is God calling you to make an impact for Him? That is the question that I want you to wrestle with this week, that I want you to think about. And as you meditate on God's Word, I want you to meditate on that question. Where, how, and in what way is God calling you to make an impact for Him? Because I can tell you, He is calling you to make an impact for Him. You need to figure out how and where and when it is. And I will leave you with this. He has already raised you up to accomplish it. You just need to get into His power. Let's pray. Oh, gracious and loving God, thank You for Your Word. Lord, we thank You for the promises that You give us. Lord, we thank You for Your servant Moses. And we thank You for Your servant Joshua. Lord, You knew the time that Joshua was going to be called into ministry, and You knew the time that You were going to call him out of ministry. And Lord, You knew that You were already raising up his successor in Joshua. You were already preparing Joshua and mentoring Joshua and coaching him. You were already giving him his power. You were already giving him the precepts that he needed to follow in the footsteps of Moses. Lord, You put a charge on Your disciples' heart when You departed, and You put the same charge on each one of us to go and make disciples. Lord, we thank You that what You did for Joshua and those seven things that You do for Joshua, You do for us. Lord, I pray that as we wrestle with this question this week, Lord, that You would reveal to Your people what it is that You have for them, what it is their next ministry would be. Maybe they're in a ministry right now that You are getting ready to close, and You are raising them up for the next one. Maybe they haven't been involved in a ministry, and You are raising them and preparing them for their very first ministry. Lord, I pray that You would reveal it to them. Lord, I pray that you would give them these seven truths that you did for Joshua. And Lord, I pray that they, and that's myself included, would get in your power, that we could move forward with courage to that which you have called us to do. And we give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. And all God's people said, amen. I would just encourage you to join in our last song, and join in a time of worship as we close out our service together. And again, I just want to thank you for joining us, either Facebook or YouTube, for our time of worship together today. Amen.